While I'm thinking about it, today after church, immediately after church, we're going to Justin to the Lonesome Spur. Our class is having a fellowship. It's not a fellowship if our class don't go in fellowship.
Amen.
The six of us that signed up, we already hang out together anyway. Okay? We're going to go have a fellowship today. We're going to eat and do all that stuff. As Dr. Henderson said this morning, this is the eatingest church I've ever been around in my life. But we do fellowship and we do eat. So immediately after church, everybody get in their little vehicles, go straight up 156 till you get to Justin. It's on the left. There's no real turns. It's just right there. Yeah, we order off. There's a lunch menu there. And we go around in the back part of it, and there's big tables, and we can throw rolls or whatever y'all want to do. A good time will be had. We can fellowship, talk with each other, really see how things are going on. I'm the only one with the microphone, so I don't really get to hear back from y'all. I do when I'm off of this. But anyway, if you see somebody here during the church service that's in our age group, invite them to come with us. That's how we build our class, okay? So immediately after church today, that's where our lunch is going to be, okay? Please plan to attend. Judy's done a fantastic job of setting these deals up. And we used to do it at people's houses, and then we got too big to be at anybody's one house. So we started doing it at restaurants. But if this is all we're going to have, it's back at your house, okay? No. Mom will have us at her house. Okay? We could go to their house. Is y'all's house back ready? I mean, is it presentable? Well, yeah, we live in ours, so, yeah. I know, but yours looks like Better Homes and Gardens getting ready to come take pictures, you know. We live in ours. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Couldn't wait to get to this lesson today. It's on the preacher's salary and drinking. I'm just following along, y'all. You know, I don't skip things. Typically, when you read commentaries on the Bible, if somebody's in a gray area or not really sure enough to commit to themselves, they just skip it. You know, what does so-and-so say about this? Well, he didn't say anything about it, so they just skip along. I don't have that luxury, so I just have to follow right on along, and we'll just keep right on going with it. We'll read what the Word of God says, and we'll get what the Word of God says out of what the Word of God says. I usually turn the neon light on and say, you know, Kelly Theology when it's me thinking and not what comes directly out of the Scripture or from what I found from other commentaries. We've gone along for 2,000 years and men have studied the Word of God and we've all grown up with certain things in our mind that we were taught. You know, and we just stuck hard and fast to that. And I made mention a couple of weeks ago about the angels that John was or Jesus addressed the angels in the book of Revelation and said to each of the angels over the churches. I grew up all my life being taught that that was preachers. That was pastors over those churches. What I don't understand is what I've studied here lately, and it comes up again today, is if he meant pastors or elders or bishops or whatever, why didn't he just say that? 65 other times in the book of Revelation is referred to as angels. We get messenger, God's messenger is an angel. Well, Brother Crawford gives God's message that he's laid upon his heart for us, but does that make him an angel? I'm trying to stay unconfused about it and not confuse y'all. The term angel is used literally for angels every other time in the book of Revelation. All other 60-whatever times means angel. Except for that chapter 2 right there where it's addressing to the angels of the church. I believe, from the study that I've done in the last month, I believe there's some kind of notoriety that maybe there's angels placed over the churches. We're in a hostile environment. We're in alien territory. And Satan's been here to disrupt and just mess up everything that God's tried to put into place. We're going to study here in just a minute a little bit about what the angels do. Why wouldn't there be one protecting and watching over the things that are going on here? It just makes sense. And then my question was, and my son and I had this discussion, I think Thursday night, whatever night it was, we were on the ferry boat out on the water, and I was doing some studying. You don't have to steer, so you just kind of sit there, you know. And so my son and I got to talking about it, and if the preacher or pastor is the one responsible for what goes on here, he's the angel of the church. Who's responsible for the church I grew up in? Is it Brother Jernigan? Is he the one that, he's going to be the one that stands and says, yeah, that was my doings? Or was it that time span when Brother Crawford was the pastor? Or is it now Brother Ogby? I mean, I could understand it here. We've had one pastor. But what about all those churches that have been around for, say, 1,000 years? Who's the guy? Because humans are mortal. It just, to me, makes more sense that if an angel was placed over that, angels aren't in time, space, and matter. It just makes sense to me. And again, men have studied this and looked over it. But again, I've looked at some stuff and found some men that agree. Henry Morris is pretty brilliant, I think. He agrees with that. I think he's pretty sharp, and he says, you know what, I think maybe there was angels placed over the churches. And again, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just trying to say, hey, what does the Word of God say about it? And we have to be careful that we don't utilize Scripture for our side of the argument. You know, that we say, well, there's this Scripture here and it means this. No. No, you have to take it all in a whole. And again, you know, we were discussing, well, that's what they meant. Really? Look what we've done to the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's what they meant, is it? Is that really what they meant? I mean, you know, just in a couple of 100 years, we've said, oh no, gays have rights just like everybody. They can marry and do the thing. Is that what they meant? Did they really mean that? I can't buy that, you know. And for us to say, well, they implied or they, I don't know. I like to take and read what the Word of God says. You know, the English language doesn't do the justice that it needs to, and we look and see what the wording is, and it gives more meaning to it. So, after we pray, preacher's salary and drinking. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time that we could be here. Lord, for the faithful group, Lord, that comes week in, week out, Lord, to hear your word. And Lord, I pray for them, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd just touch their hearts. Lord, I pray you'd teach this lesson. Lord, that we'd have understanding through you. Father, I thank you for, Lord, even the conversations after, and Lord, just stirs people's hearts to look into your word, Lord, to see your face. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I know that no one's here by happenstance. Lord, I pray that, again, we'd all be lifted up, Lord, by reading of your word in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now remember, at this time, we got to get the mindset here. At Ephesus, there may have been, as Wes and I discussed, there may have been 100 churches, individual households. They didn't all leave their homes and come together. They were individual households. I mean, you realize we're our own priests, right? We're to do those things at our house, but Timothy was over a lot of people. So he had administrative duties, and then more than likely he preached or taught. So when it says double honor, there's word. He says, look what he says there. He said, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Two things. There's an and in there, a conjunction that says word and doctrine. There's those teaching and preaching. Double honor. There's some that do both. That's what he says. He says, especially those who labor in both of them. You know, you can have a preacher that just preaches up a storm and couldn't teach you how to do anything. Y'all have heard them. Amazing preachers that can just preach beyond degree, but their teaching of it is lacking. Then there's guys that can just really teach. I enjoy teaching. I really don't get nervous to come up here and teach y'all. When we do that deal during the summer and I got to get up there and preach, oh man, I don't know, sick them from come here. I'm telling you, when it turns from teaching to preaching, I'm lost. No, that's not me. I don't think my calling is to preach. Sometimes I get a little preachy. Y'all do that to me. But there's some that do both and do both well. There's some that do one and the other. There's some, he says some that are general overseers, some that are pastors that do every bit of it. He says they deserve double honor. And he says that they deserve a reward. Look at verse 18. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. When they would have an ox pulling a plow and turning the corn back under, that ox just walks along and eats as he's going before they tear it down. Well, who's doing the labor? He's the one pulling the plow. You're just kind of keeping it upright and steady. But he's deserved of his labor. He's deserved that reward. That word reward literally means pay. He should get something for what he's doing. Now, we know a lot of pastors that are pastors and they have secular jobs. And I know a lot of those guys that work over here in a regular job and then here they go, you know, doing their preacher stuff. And that's two separate careers going on at the same time, parallel. I'm always one to step up and talk about paying some of the staff at our church. I had a company that I ran. I rode bulls. I traveled all over the country. I raised a family. Oh, and by the way, I was the youth pastor. And I didn't get a nickel. But that wasn't my calling. Now, do I think we should pay them? Of course we should. But the thing is we pay them up to that need. Some of them don't need it. Man, Brother Consecus? Say it again. It's so easy when you speak the language. What is it? Consecus? Casillas. Brother Casillas in Mexico? Man, he didn't need the money. He could have went down there and done whatever he wanted to do off of what he had already done here. But we support him as a missionary. You understand that it's not paying them up to the need. They're worth doubly honor. That's what the Bible says, is that they're counted worthy of double honor. Verse 19 says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. It is not unusual for the pastor to be verbally abused. It's just not. And you got all these different personalities and different things going on, and We laugh about it every time it's mentioned, but it's true. A lot of times truth is funnier than fiction. He didn't shake my hand today. Isn't that funny? It happens every week. And the one that he didn't shake their hand, they're not laughing. He didn't even speak to me this week. I'm not giving any more of my money. Guess what? If you're giving your money, be careful. You don't have to give your money anymore, but you better make sure God's money gets up here.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's not hard for the preacher to be abused week in and week out, week in and week out. I've been abused pretty good here. I love it here. Woohoo! Tim and I was talking about it. Boy, don't you just miss it? I said, you know, further away from it I get. No, I don't. No, I don't. But Doris, everything's going to be fine. It's not hard to understand that the pastor's going to get some abuse. Either he didn't pay me the amount of attention that I thought I deserved. You know, whatever was going on with him, whatever was going on, you know. We always tried to ward off people catching him coming down the stairs there, coming to the platform to preach. Hey, preacher, here's my problem today. Tell him when you're shaking his hand and going outside. Let him upset his lunch. Don't upset what he's going to preach. You know? That just makes more sense. He can't do anything about it from there all the way around to here. You know? But it's understood that he's going to get some abuse. He's going to get some misunderstanding out there. Somebody's not going to, you know, well, I thought it was this way. No, it was that way. There's just going to be abuse. But if there's real accusations against him, it can't come from just one person. There has to be two people. It has to be a formal accusation. That's what Paul's saying here. It has to be formal. It has to come out in front of others. And you better have your ducks in a row. You better be right on it. There is not a more honorable calling on the planet Earth than being a pastor. Not a more honorable calling. I mean, when someone like a missionary gives their all and says, look, what I had going on isn't what you wanted, whatever you want. We talked last year. I'm amazed at Doyce. In my eyes, in our eyes, he had it going on. You know, 1.2 kids, family, cars, all that stuff. Gave it all up because God called upon his heart. I'm amazed at that. That men still say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do. I mean, it'd be tough for me. And I don't have anything. But it'd be tough for me to say, okay, God, I'll give up everything that I thought for you and whatever you want me to do. That's what all these people did that are around the wall. They left their possessions. Man, they left their families. You know, I think about Sandy's mom and dad. I mean, it's one thing to give up things, but to give up family and go somewhere else and live and do, man, that's tough stuff. How admirable is that? You know, I hope that when y'all see servicemen, you thank them. Buy their meal when they're standing in line. I've been guilty of that. I was with a young man this weekend, did two tours in Afghanistan. We just stopped what we were doing, and every one of us said, man, thank you for what you did. Thank you for the time and service that you gave. You know, to give like that. Man, we should be doing the same thing with these people. Man, missionary shows up, we should carry him around on our shoulders. I'm telling you, there's not a more honorable calling than for God to call a man to go and do something for him. You know, sometimes we just sit around and go, boy, I wish God would call me. what's wrong with me? You know, hey. Verse 20 says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. He's talking about the clergy here, but also church members. That if there's blatant sin in your life, that you're to be called before all, you know, put on the platform and said, look, you know, repent of your sins, get right, here we go again. He says, verse 21 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. This is the only place in the New Testament where angels are called elect. No other place are they said there's elect angels, ones that God has appointed or positioned. The elect angels. I wanted to talk for a minute on the duties that angels have that we're aware of. We said a minute ago that they were God's messengers. We see where Gabriel and others would be sent from God. One guy's praying, and while he's praying, he flew swiftly there and said, hey, you know, while you were praying, here's what God told me to tell you to do. They're mighty warriors. They interfere with the schemes that Satan's got going on here. And I'm telling you, if you don't see at Easter time Jesus Christ being put through the humiliation and the things of crucifixion, that you don't see God's angels standing on point just like a dog on a chain, just ready to be released, you don't get the whole picture. You know, back up and see everything that's going on and know that God's angels were just ready to come over the wall at one spoken word. Jesus Himself said, what, can I not call a legion of angels to come down? Put away your swords. Man, they're standing here. They're ready to go. Revelation 7 tells us that they control the elements. So there were four angels holding back the four winds of the earth. They administer God's judgment on the earth. Revelation tells where the angels open up the vials and sound the trumpets and do the things that God's going to do to this earth. Matthew 18:10 says that they watch over children. I don't know how this works. Haven't studied it out. Just the verse alludes to the angels that watch over the little children, our faces are always before God. That they have maybe some kind of better viewing or something to God because of these little children. Well, don't mess with kids. Whoo! Don't mess with kids. I have a heart for children. I do a lot of stuff for the children's ministries here just because I love the kids, man. I want it to be impressionable time upon kids. The things we do for Vacation Bible School, those things. I just want the kids to say, wow, this is the real stuff. You know, why does the world get to do that for them and we don't? You know, just do little special things to make it a little bit better, you know? I just enjoy that. And again, Matthew alludes to that those angels that are watching over those little kids has immediate response to God. They minister to God's people. Hebrews 1:14 tells us that they're here for us. They attend to the needs of the individual believers. We talked about this last week, that we all have guardian angels if we're born again. Then God places an angel that watches over us and helps us through our stuff. We know that angels are very interested in the redemptive purposes of God. I said this last couple of weeks, that the angels are watching the church to see about how God's dealing with this redemptive process. They're curious about this. I said last couple of weeks, they don't have the same relationship that you and I as born-again believers have with God. They don't have that redemptive relationship. God didn't give His Son to die for them. He did that for us. And the angels are curious about, wow, what is it about those little frail, finite beings down there? You know? Angels with power beyond what we could ever imagine. By the way, you don't die and become an angel. Okay? Somebody help me here. Okay? That one's wore me out. Okay? God needed a little angel, another angel in heaven, so He took... No. My wife did have a weird question this morning. When the rapture... And I don't want to upset anybody. When the rapture takes place, what happens to little Toto? Who's going to feed him? Huh? He's going with us? Oh, he'll be okay. Yeah, okay, good, okay. All dogs go to heaven. That's a good question. I fed the livestock this morning. Who's going to do that? Because I've got my ticket gone. But like Doyle says, they'll be okay. I'm not going to worry about it. Yeah, they're fine. And then we see that they watch over the worship in church. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says that they're watching over the services of what's going on. And I asked you a minute ago, if we take literally the repeated references to angels in the letters in Revelation to each church, that each church has its own angel, why don't we take it literal everywhere else? I mean, if those angels that are opening the vials and blowing the trumpets and doing that stuff, if those are angels, why can't that be angels that He told them to write to that are over the churches? I don't know where it changed at, is all I'm saying. And I'm a guy that questions a lot. He says, verse 21 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. He's warning Timothy here not to show partiality. Hey, you're a big businessman. Come sit down front here. Come, you get the good seat. That's taught over and over in the Bible. But that word preferring there is only used here in the New Testament, and it means to prejudge. You look at somebody and say, oh, you look like a man of good stature. Come in here. That's prejudging someone. You know, honestly, y'all, we don't know each other like we think we know each other. Y'all don't know me like you think you know me. And when I go to looking at how great I am, Holy Spirit says, yeah, well, what about? And I think, man, why would God use me for anything? I'm serious.
Amen.
You know? He's warning Timothy not to be preferring. He says, do nothing by partiality. That word partiality is only used here, and it literally means inclination toward. It means to show favoritism for someone just because of first appearance or because of what we think we know about them. I want to mention this because some of you weren't listening. Right after church, we're going to go have a fellowship. And we're going to go sit down and eat lunch together. Sit across from someone that you really don't know. And get to know who they are. Get to know, what do they do? What, you know, what is it that you do? What, you know, how does your world spin around? That's what we should do at all these functions. You know, we have our little groups that we always sit together with. That's what I said, the six that signed up, I hang out with them all the time anyway. Somebody else come with us and we'll listen to you. I've already heard their story. No. Verse 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins, keep thyself pure. That first phrase there, lay hands suddenly on no man, we have a couple of different references in 1 and 2 Timothy about laying on hands of men. That's ordaining men or putting them in a position of the church. Paul says, slow down a little bit. Don't do anything real hastily that way. We do, if you're going to do anything in church ministry, especially dealing with kids or the youth, you get a background check. Everything clears out? Okay. So you hadn't been caught at anything. Don't do anything hastily of putting somebody in. We're looking desperately right now for somebody to do children's church. We got new church members. 4 months, new church members that are ready and willing to step up and do that. We got people been around here 10 years. Come on, people. Get mad at me because I'm the one saying it. Come on, people. You know? Do something, even though you don't have a dog in the hunt, you know? Do something. There's other kids that you could do for and do things. Sorry. Downer note. It just upsets me that we got brand new people going, man, plug me in somewhere. Get me going. What do you want me to do? And then we got people that are been here a long time, says, you know, I've been here a long time. What else can you do for me? Man, if you want to really get something out of church, do something for church. That's when you, if you really want to be the taker of it, do something for church. You'll get something out of it. We have to be very careful who we promote as human beings into the Lord's work that we assign to do stuff. He says here, lay hands suddenly on no man. Get to know who they are. You know, again, we've got new members that say, hey, put me in somewhere. Let us kind of get to know you a little bit more. But you know what? If we can't get anybody in that position, we may have to get to know them on the job training kind of deal, you know? He says, verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. You know, there's people that don't know the New from the Old Testament, but will stand on their hind legs and say, Bible says right there, you can drink all, you know, drink your wine. It says you can drink. Huh? There you go. Don't know the New from the Old Testament, but can tell you verbatim. It says in there that it's, Paul told that kid he could drink, and he is a preacher. But let's read what it says here and see if that's exactly what Paul meant. Infirmities is weakness, physical weakness, sickness, or attacks of illness. He would occasionally get sick. Whether it's common knowledge or not, I don't know, but our pastor has a very volatile stomach. Well, sometimes it can be 10 minutes before we start, hey, somebody else has got to go, I can't make it. You know, just his stomach. It's hereditary in his family. It's just what goes on. But look what he says. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Used to, I don't know if they say it anymore. Now it's watch out for bullets or the cartel. But when you used to go to Mexico, what was the number one thing they said?
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water. Why not? Because it's not purified like it is here. You can eat fruit from water that from that's been washed off with that water and get sick. Hello, we've got a Kurt's going to stand and testify. Don't drink the water. The water's not doing you any good. The water may be what's making you sick. Don't drink the water. What's left? V8 hadn't come around yet. You know, what's left? Fruit of the vine. Now, there's not a whole lot of debate here as to what wine he's talking about. The wine is the wine like we're thinking about. Okay? Not the grape juice part of it, it's the wine part of it. The partially fermented part of it that gives you that alcoholic content. Which, by the way, doctorally speaking, is an antiseptic. He says, you know what? Look at the word there. But use a little wine. Give me a show of hands. Who does NyQuil? Huh? Nobody does it because it's got alcohol in it? Come on. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, David. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's got a little. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry had both hands up. No. He's got to stop. Kevin. Thank you for sharing that, Judy. Take a little wine for your infirmities. Not because you want to. Not because it's a social time to do it. Why? What does it say there? It says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Why for his stomach's sake? Because of thine often infirmities. That's why he's supposed to be doing it. Not because it's a social thing to do or because he's going to get out of his mind. He's going to partake of the spirits. No. It was the word little is emphasized here. And again, it's for his stomach problems, the things that he's got going on. Again, it just grinds my teeth when somebody that don't know the New from the Old Testament tries to give me, well, let me tell you what it says in the Bible. I know it's in there. Well, here, show me, because I haven't found it. You know? Just show me where it's at. They'll show you this verse because it says, Paul told him, man, you can drink wine. No. Is the love of money the root of all evil? The lust of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root, the lust thereof. Right? So, he says you can take a little wine only when you're having stomach problems. He says the water is probably causing it to compound on you. He says, verse 24 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. He compares some of our sin that we have goes before us. Boy, you know that guy, he's one of them kind. But some of them are hidden. We're you know, nobody really knows what kind of guy that is. Same way with our works. Man, there's guys here that does stuff around this church that nobody's ever aware of.
Amen.
Man, praise the Lord for them. You know, don't mention my name. You know, Dr. Henderson, he just kind of cringes when we go to saying something good about him. You know why? He understands that his blessings are in heaven. If you get them here, does it take them away up there? Give me the ones up there. They're the ones that's going to last. And you don't have to mention my name about anything around here, because I'm not doing it for that. I'm not doing it for the pastor. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. Man, I kid around all the time. Man, I'm working for Jesus. But I am. I'm just here working for Jesus. You know? Those are the ones, he says here, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they are otherwise cannot be hid. Some guys just, you know, they're out front. I mean, the things that they do, hey, brother so-and-so did this, or brother so-and-so, okay, they can't be hidden. You know, I know Brother Stone put these up. Y'all went, what? Where'd the flags go? Some of those things can't be hid. But I'll guarantee you there's somebody maybe come along and took the flags down, whoever that was. It's a lame example, but there it is. He says, was that right on the lame example, or there it was? Okay. He says, sometimes your works are made manifest beforehand, sometimes they're hidden, but God sees all. God knows us. God knows who's in our, or what's in our heart. He's trying to, again, set Timothy up, warn him, show him some things, that be aware of these things that may be coming down the road, that may be happening now. You understand, Satan was trying to infiltrate and did infiltrate the early church just as much as he's doing today. I'm just wondering why he's having so much trouble. Maybe that angel. Who knows? Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the time that we could spend in your word. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd ponder this in our hearts. Lord, that we would grow closer to you. Lord, that it would, Lord, make us more curious. And as the angels look into the things that you have, Lord, that we would want to examine and see the things that you have for us. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Lord, that you gave your Son. Lord, that we'd have everlasting life. Lord, I pray for the service to follow. Lord, the message that you've given Brother Crawford. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we saw last Sunday, that you imposed upon a man's heart, Lord, what to preach. And there was one here, Lord, that heard that call and was changed for eternity, Father. I praise you for that. Lord, I pray that this is the kind of church that we'd always be. In Christ's name, amen.